Blog Talk Radio.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just for me has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better, and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
Now, I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I am married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is. Why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell. So you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have then, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself?
And hi there, I am Carol Jurgensen Sheets, aka Carol the Coach. And you know, when I'm talking to clients who have this addiction or who love people that have this addiction, that's what I ask them. I say, now, are you ready to do the hard work it's going to take to make your life different? Because it does take hard work. But here is what I promise. You do the hard work, you make yourself do it, and eventually you crave the hard work like you crave the addiction. Or you crave the hard work like you craved the person that has the addiction. That is absolutely my promise. That's how it works. And when you work it, it works. So I have no problem guaranteeing you that that's what you need to do to make your life different. How do I know? Well, I've worked with thousands of people that have this affliction. And I've worked with thousands of their partners because, let's face it, when you love somebody, it can be just as difficult to figure out how you're going to cope with their addiction. And so, you know, I've had partners that have, they have GPS on their partner's phone, and they know where their partner is, and they call their partner, and partner doesn't respond, and they call them again, and doesn't respond, and call them again, and doesn't respond. And then when the partner does respond, because he's gotten out of the restaurant, he's gone to the car, he sees that he has 15 missed voicemails or texts and says, hey, I'm heading home. That person is like, you have to have your phone on you at all times. Well, I'm not a believer in that. Yes, I do believe that somebody who has sexual addiction has to be transparent. They have to be authentic. But they are not a slave to their partner. Their partner has to deal with that anxiety that they feel because they've been traumatized by the events that have occurred in the past. And that is the work a partner has to do while the addict is doing his or her work, going to 12-step meetings, going to a certified sexual addictions therapist, talking to their sponsor, doing their spiritual reading, doing their recovery reading. I mean, I'm not taking the partner off the hook. He or she has a lot of work to do. And I get that it can seem very, very gamey when all of a sudden the person that you love doesn't call you back. You know, I've had clients that called me that I've fired or I've terminated, and I've said, you know, I loved working with you. You're not working hard enough. I'll see you when you start working harder. And so 1 week, 1 month, 1 year later, that person calls back and they say, I'm ready to work. What's your next available appointment? And I will get right back with them. I mean, within a minute. And I will say, I've got to work in. How about Thursday at 2? And then I don't hear anything. I don't hear anything for a minute, for an hour, for a day. And I blow these people off. I'm like, okay, if you want to work with a certified sexual addiction therapist, then you better be checking your phone to see what my response is. And so I have no problem filling that appointment. And then when that person mosey over to the phone and they say, hey, I would like that appointment, I say, I'm sorry, it's taken. Well, you know, that's the same thing that has to happen in sexual addiction. If you're a sex addict and you don't have a partner right now, I almost think that is harder because you are on your own to hold yourself 100% accountable. If you're an addict and you do have a partner, then I got to say, you got to do it for you. But in the same vein, it does help if somebody is over there prodding you to do the right thing. Now, I'm not saying that that partner should nag, coerce, and remind. As a matter of fact, that partner needs to work on what do I need to do to feel trust? Do I need to be with this person? Do I not? Should we do a legal separation? Do I need to do my reading for 3 months and then make a decision? You know, there is a lot of bibliotherapy that can really help people when they're in need. So I know that it can be very, very, very tough. But I'm telling you, if you get to the right resources and you do the work, it definitely works. Hey, tonight I am so excited because I'm going to be interviewing Megan Ross. She is the trauma therapy coordinator at Timberline Knowles. And actually, I've gotten some information about the fact that Megan did workshops on trauma and somatic experiencing. And I knew that I wanted to find out more about somatic experiencing. And I knew if I wanted to find out more about it, so did you. So, you know, Megan has said that, you know, whether a trauma is physical in nature or not, the proven relationship between trauma and its effects on the body and the brain from the field of neuroscience is mounting. And you've heard me say this before. A good clinical therapist better be a brain specialist. No longer can we rest on the laurels of just working with people. We need to know how the brain functions. So somatic experiencing is a form of therapy aimed at relieving and resolving the symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. And I don't know what you think, but I have addicts who have post-traumatic stress disorder, and I've got partners who have post-traumatic stress disorder. So I got to tell you, when you have mental and physical trauma related to health problems, then when you do somatic experiencing, you focus on the client's perceived body sensations. And then you integrate the principles derived from somatic experiencing so that you can increase tolerance of the sensations and increase the response flexibility, help people to regulate their emotions. Now, I know these are big words. But what that really means is, you know, we got to help people deal with their emotions so they're not flooded by them or immobilized by them, so that they don't create maladaptive behaviors to medicate them. And then you got to understand your past and integrate that into who you are. And so Megan's going to talk about how do you do that. And again, she is the trauma therapy coordinator at Timberline Knowles. I know today that I received a staffing on somebody who, the more he did his work with trauma and his own personal sexual abuse, the more he felt sick to his stomach and actually violently threw up. And this happened over and over and over again. And once we ruled out, because I said to the person I was staffing this with, you need to rule out the physical before you go for the emotional. So once that got ruled out, what we knew was that this person was having a reaction to somatic experiencing. You know, I mean, it was so metaphoric. The work that this person was doing was making him sick to his stomach. And, you know, when you were a small kid and you had trauma, oftentimes you had body functions, body complaints, body ailments, body sensations, and nobody, absolutely nobody, helped you work through those. So as an adult, they come back, they manifest in a different way, and Megan's going to talk about the treatment that Timberline Knowles offers. You know, she's going to explain what somatic experiencing is all about. She's going to talk about what does it look like clinically. What is sexual trauma? How does it play out in the body? And how can you treat this? As we know, Timberline Knowles is an amazing treatment center that helps people with all sorts of process addictions, eating disorders, sexual addictions, partner traumas, hoarding, depression, anxiety, you name it, they do it. So we are really looking forward to Megan talking about what programs are available at Timberline Knowles. And somatic experiencing is something you better get used to, because you're going to be hearing more and more about it, especially the more trauma that we hear that our clients are experiencing in the field. Now, you are listening to Sex Help with Carol the Coach. I'm Carol Jurgensen-Sheets. If you have a question for me, you can feel free to contact me at carolthecoach@aol.com. And I definitely want you to go to my website. It's sexhelpwithcarolthecoach.com. And I want you to go to my Facebook page. So go to Carol Jurgensen-Sheets, and then I want you to go to the fan page of Strength, Hope, and Recovery, Sex Help with Carol the Coach, and make sure that you like it, because that way you will get information dispersed to you periodically, not only what the show involves, but also I frequently send out flyers, I send out information, I send out tips on how you too can manage your sexual addiction, or manage the anxiety and depression that may come about because you love a sex addict. You are not alone in this game. I want you to know that truly there are many centers, there are many people, there's much bibliotherapy to help you. So I just want you to stay tuned every Monday night at 9 o'clock. And if you want, you can always download this through iTunes and get every show that we've ever done free. So you can go back into the archives by going to iTunes.com and looking at all the different shows we have to offer. So I want to welcome Megan Ross to the show. Megan, how are you this evening?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And obviously, I saw that you had been offering workshops at Timberline Knolls to the general public to kind of help them to understand what somatic experiencing was all about. So if I could, I just want to ask you, how would you describe, or what is the definition for somatic experiencing?
Well, at Timberline Knolls, we end up utilizing principles of somatic experiencing. So from that idea, somatic experiencing is a sensory integrated approach to trauma treatment, and its goal is for stress discharge. So it ends up teaching people how to not only track their own nervous system and their own stress response as a therapist, but then also how to track a client's stress response so that you can move them into stress discharge.
Okay, and when you say stress discharge,
yeah,
go into what that would look like for anybody who's experiencing any post-traumatic stress.
Absolutely. So trauma, when a traumatic experience takes place, from the perspective of the originator of somatic experiencing, Dr. Peter Levine, there is a moment when there is a trapping or an entrapment of stress within the physiology of a person. So as some type of trauma occurs, and this could be any type of trauma. It could be a medical trauma, or it could be a car accident, or it could be an abuse or repetitive engagement with something horrific. And from those moments, there is the stress response moves up into fight, flight, and freeze. And as it does that for the human population, oftentimes we don't come out of it as Dr. Peter Levine ended up viewing in the animal kingdom. Animal kingdom ends up reorienting to space and shaking off or releasing the trapped physiological stress from the trauma. When that is looked at in humans, we have a much lower rate of doing that. So somatic experiencing approaches the trapped or locked stress response in the fight, flight, freeze zone and ends up moving a client or a person into being able to release the tension that has been physiologically trapped for some time.
Okay, so the kind of clients you get at Timberline Knolls have a variety of issues, whether it be depression or anxiety, sexual addiction, eating disorders. Talk a little bit about the clients that you get at Timberline
Absolutely.
Knolls and where Timberline Knolls is located.
Sure. So Timberline Knolls is a women's residential facility, and it is on 43 acres just outside of Chicago in Illinois. And it ends up treating a variety of disorders and behaviors, many that you ended up mentioning, and it looks at the co-occurrence versus the tracked approach. So if somebody has an eating disorder, then they arrive, and perhaps throughout the process we discover that as well they have an addiction or they also have depression. And so it looks at the whole person versus breaking them down into, well, we're only going to look at the eating disorder. And let's say for sex addiction, someone will show up with another primary diagnosis, and sex addiction may be in there, and we'll treat the entire gamut of what that person is experiencing, understanding that how behaviors and how ailments end up presenting themselves are from a whole layer of events. They're from a complex experience as a human. And so we definitely want to open up and widen to how we can perceive both the disease or the behavior, but more so how we can perceive the healing and the wellness.
Well, that makes sense. So give me an example of a typical client that you might see and what you do, how you go through both the kind of assessing them and also doing somatic experiencing with them.
Absolutely. So at Timberline Knolls, we have about 160-plus residential beds. And so we have a whole variety as to why people have come to our doors, but all with the intent of health and healing. And from that perspective, they end up arriving and are met with an access team that provides them with a whole orientation towards Timberline Knolls, and then from that orientation they move on to Lodge, and Lodge is a milieu experience where we approach healing not from an isolatory experience, but that it's social. As a social being, you have to re-socialize in order to engage in any healing process. And so there's a milieu experience, and from that milieu experience, there is group programming as well as individual programming. And individual programming meaning that they have a family therapist, and they have an MD, and they have a primary therapist, and they meet with them regularly throughout the week, but also they have group programming. And somatic experiencing has been one of the trauma modalities that we have woven into the philosophy of Timberline Knolls, and it trickles into the treatment by having our staff understanding and practicing principles that are relevant for our residential population to incorporate into any group and to incorporate into any milieu experience. So if somebody has arrived with a particular behavior, then when they engage in that behavior, a staff meets them in the space and when they're, you know, in which they are in, and is with them understanding principles of somatic experiencing. So they orient, which is one of the principles, they orient the resident to the space, to the present moment. Oftentimes in behavior, we are dealing with the past or we're dealing with the future. You know, depression, we're dealing with the past. Anxiety, we're anxious about the future. And so the orientation principle is utilized to really bring the present moment back mm-hmm. into the experience of the resident.
Okay, and so when you say bring the present moment back into the experience, what might
yeah.
that look like?
Absolutely. So one of the ways that that is done is quite simply, so orientation. I'll back up. Orientation from somatic experiencing is explored through the five senses as well as socialization. So the five
okay.
senses end up when you offer to somebody, so what are you noticing right now? Allow your eyes to simply travel as they will. And what do you notice? Then that is requiring a resident to actually engage in what is around them versus in a thought that is perpetual and not of the present moment. So,
okay, so some of the answers for what am I noticing might be, I'm kind of sick to my stomach, my heart is palpitating, my breathing is shallow, those kinds of responses.
Yes, they could be somatic based. They also could be, well, I'm noticing a clock on the wall.
Mm.
Or the wind is really powerful outside of the window. So it could be a present moment internal experience or a present moment external experience.
Okay.
And from that baseline of where somebody is at in the present moment, then we can build resilience to the present moment and tolerance to the present moment. And both resilience and tolerance to the present moment are so key in any recovery process, because oftentimes behaviors are about removing yourself from a sensation or a thought, an emotion that you cannot tolerate. So to bring somebody into the present moment and have them expand their awareness within that present moment, and from that, they begin to build tolerance. And with the building of tolerance as well as the building of resilience, then they have less tendency to need the behavior to cover up the present moment. If that makes sense.
Well, it does make sense. And so, obviously, how does a client know if they need to find somebody who is skilled at somatic experiencing? Because not every therapist is skilled.
Well, wonderfully, somatic integrated modalities are increasing in psychotherapy, so that is exciting. There are also a variety of somatic integrated modalities similar to somatic experiencing that are equally valuable. There is sensory motor, Hikomi. So therapists are beginning, and some of them are incredibly well steeped, but are beginning to delve into the physiology and the somatic and the sensory world, not just having talk therapy or not just having thought or emotion-based therapy. And that increasing propensity of people being educated in this way is really reshaping how recovery is taking place, which is so incredibly exciting. It's really a thrilling time to be a part of psychology. And from the consumer side, or the, you know, the person in need, one wonderful thing that you can do is quite simply ask a practitioner, what is your belief in integrating my entire being, or my perception, my sensory knowledge? Now, you can end up translating that into any type of language. And there are websites that have a list of practitioners that are somatic trained. You can go to somatic experiencing. You can go to sensory motor as well. You can end up finding treatment centers that are integrating the principles and integrating many of the aspects, such as Timberline Knowles, which is working diligently to train its staff to be able to at least understand that a traumatic past or a behavior past or a diseased past is one that has included the entire body in the process.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I can hear the excitement in your voice. You can really see where, when you can tap into this and help people to maybe detach from not the trauma, but the sensory experience that's accompanied their trauma, they're empowered. So how did you get involved, and how would you describe the actual principles themselves?
I ended up getting involved in somatic experiencing from a very long, a long life in a variety of somatic modalities. I had the privilege of studying and teaching yoga from the age of 13, and the strength of physical and internal wisdom that comes with that practice is not to be missed, and ended up informing a long trajectory. I did my graduate work in dance movement therapy and graduate Laban movement analysis, developmental movement patterning. So there's a whole list of somatic modalities, and somatic experiencing is one that has really resonated with the integration of all of the ones that have come before for me. So that's really lovely. As far as I professionally danced for a while. the body inclusion just really makes sense. It's how we walk in the world every day. Every single one of us does not walk in simply our mind or in simply our brain. We experience the world full-bodied. And so to bring attention to the full-bodied experience once again just seems to make simple sense.
I wanted to ask you because obviously sensation relates very specifically to sexual trauma. And so how do you believe that it relates? And what do you see clinically for our listeners out there that have sexual trauma that have also had the sensory experience?
Yeah, it is something that that I see often. And sexual trauma, one of the outcomes of sexual trauma are the experiences, or the prolonged experience, I guess would be the better way to say it, of sexual trauma is that someone will either re-experience what the original sensation felt like, or not want to engage sexually for fear of either that sensation again or the uncomfortability with trauma and pleasure being so close. And so it's an incredibly valuable arena to put a lot of attention. And one of the elements that somatic experiencing ends up addressing through such an experience is that if the sensation is not tolerable, again, we'll use that word, and it's not tolerable in a variety of ways. Perhaps we never want to experience sex again, or perhaps we're re-experiencing aspects of the abuse. So one way to end up increasing the present moment tolerance is to notice sensory information. Now, this isn't just sensation, but sensory information of the present moment that is tolerable, and to describe it, to live into it, to allow yourself to pause there, which neurologically expands the space to be there. And one example is perhaps I do not have the tolerance to be within my physical sensation, but I can enjoy the sound that I'm experiencing within the room that I'm in clinically. And so can I describe that sound? Can I hang out in that sound? Can I increase the duration in which I allow myself to be inside of something tolerable? Be inside of something that perhaps even has resilience for me. And then I can pendulate over to that which is not tolerable. And as I move over and pendulate to that area, then it's how long can I stay there? And the moment that it is intolerable, great, let's move back over. And let's build what is possible so that as we pendulate back and forth, we're actually building what isn't possible into what is possible.
Okay, so you say pendulate, and for our listeners, they may not know what pendulate means. So describe for me. What do you mean by pendulate?
Absolutely. We're moving back and forth. We're swinging.
Like a pendulum.
So, yeah, so we're swinging, you know. We're going from one side over to another side, back
and
over.
And so now describe what that would look like from one side to the next side.
Sure. So on one side, It is. So how are you doing today? Oh, gosh, everything's horrible, blah, 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 blah. And you can sort of see how someone gets hot and things are uncomfortable. That's not necessarily what we want to build, and that's not necessarily what we want to hang out in. So we're going to swing over to, then the next question is, so what is interesting today? Or what do you notice around the room? Oh, I notice the light. And what do you notice about the light? Well, you know, it has a soft glow. It's kind of nice. So the moment that it's tolerable, right, it has a soft glow and it's kind of nice. Nice
right.
is something that maybe I could hang out in. All right, so what if we just pause there for a while? Yeah, that's nice. So we have swung over to the other side. Now, either the original side, the intolerable, the harsher, will emerge on its own,
mm-hmm.
or as we build our tolerance, we will actually move the conversation over there to see where we are as far as regulating through it.
Right, right.
And so we just move back and forth. We swing back and forth. We pendulate. So
and
that's one of the principles
that,
utilized.
Yeah, that shows a client that they are not imprisoned by one specific feeling, that they can move back and forth. They are empowered to do that.
Wonderfully said. Oftentimes, when we have any type of addictive personality or, not personality, sorry, but when we have an addiction or we have certain behaviors that are challenging to our lives, oftentimes we perceive that we are all or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We are one thing. Oftentimes at Timberline Knolls, as I'm checking in with the residential population, how are you feeling today? Oh, I'm anxious. Well, that perhaps that person has said anxious every single time that I've checked in with them. So they're actually identifying themselves in one thing. They're identifying their own personality, their own life in one area. So moving back and forth, swinging back and forth, exactly as you said, ends up demonstrating to a person that they are more. They actually have a variety of experiences. They have a variety of emotions, and you begin to describe them, and as you describe them, you become aware of your own awareness. And as you become aware of your own awareness, you move into regulation off of your awareness. And then you
mm-hmm.
move into organization. And then as that progression continues, you move into integration. And integration is one of the definitions of health.
Well, what does that mean in layman terms for our listeners? Again, they may not know what integration actually is.
It's wholeness.
Okay.
So and you are integrating, you are sewing together, you are putting a variety of parts into
mm-hmm.
a whole. So one experience may be, oh, I'm always anxious and I'm always angry and I can't handle X, Y, Z. So that's what I've identified myself as, those three things. So moving back and forth in description and experience from present moment ends up challenging those three things. It adds more things. Well, not only am I anxious, kind of angry, and I can't tolerate X, Y, Z, I also laugh today. And I also notice these beautiful trees outside of the window. In fact, I did art today, and I made a bracelet, and I haven't felt that much joy in a while. So other elements start entering into a person's experience of themselves. And as those enter in, those weave together to create a larger sum, a fuller, more whole experience, which is integration.
Absolutely. That is a great way of describing what integration is. And that's, of course, one of the goals of therapy, to be able to, despite your own pain, look at life on life's terms and experience the joy, the serenity, the gratitude, whatever it is, to actually have both feelings so that you're not overwhelmed with depression or anxiety or sadness or loneliness, some of the primary feelings.
Wonderfully said, yeah.
Okay, so now who do you believe this modality is most useful for? I mean, is there a certain type of population?
Sure. The fantastic thing with somatic experiencing and a couple other modalities is that it can be utilized with any age and any disposition. It can really be for everyone. It's really nice because one of the founding elements of it, one of the founding principles of it, is simply to be with somebody. And that's a human desire. That's a human need, is to be with. And so from the baseline, you are just to be with the person that you're with. And there's profound healing through that experience. There's profound healing through a relational experience that doesn't have an expectation.
Yeah, that totally makes sense to me that, again, different experiences really can be profound to a client who is looking for relief, is looking to experience life differently than they've experienced based on the trauma. So what kinds of traumas do you most work with?
Anything and everything.
I say that very honestly.
The trauma is really defined as how somebody experienced a moment and every moment since. So trauma can be the loss of a loved one, and a loved one are those close to us, those distant from us, those, you know, it can be animals, it can be humans, it can be a natural disaster, a ritualistic abuse scenario, sexual assault, grief, and so really, it can be medical. Having gone through a medical moment that you had a loss of control or felt compromised in a traumatic way, any type of accident. So it's really more defined as, is there something within your life that is challenging you moving forward? And is that something for us to look at?
Okay, and when do you think someone would benefit from individual outpatient therapy to coming into Timberline Knowles and getting some intensive work done?
I think that there are so many different scenarios, and if the question has arisen within you, if you're beginning to wonder, then it's time to definitely reach out. And if those witnessing you are beginning to wonder, then it's time to reach out. I think that our own awareness of ourselves and those that we surround ourselves with are our best markers to commit to stepping into residential treatment, as Timberline Knowles is a powerful gift, and it's a gift of time, and it's a gift of focus. And there are so many different ways in which our lives unfold that perhaps ask for and at times require that gift of time and that gift of focus. So I think it's really individualized, and I think that it's a question to ask yourself as well as a question to pose for those that you are with that maybe are not seeing themselves clearly at the moment.
Yeah, so what I really hear you saying is if you're starting to ask the questions, do I need inpatient, to listen to that voice, you probably do, and then to check in with people who love and know you because they may be the markers for helping you to say, yeah, you know what, you're not functioning very well and maybe you need a break and to have some intensive treatment.
Absolutely.
Totally. Yes, absolutely.
And when those questions begin, when those questions start, what a wonderful time to practice listening to yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. And that's what Timberline Knowles does, is it reinforces the individual strength inside of you so that you're empowered to take your life through the healing process and then to that next level, however that may be. So tell us a little bit about Timberline Knowles. How can my listeners contact Timberline Knowles if they are wondering about the treatment programs they have to offer?
Sure. There is a direct line, and it can be accessed by phone. There is a website that links right to that number. The website also has a lot of information as far as what are the strengths of the treatment protocol and layout. And when you end up calling in, there will be somebody on the other line, which is fantastic. It's wonderful to know that as you make that step for yourself to pick up the phone and reach out, which is really such not only a beginning, but stepping into the stream of recovery, stepping into the stream of caring for self to even identify that it's time to make a call. So you will be met with someone else on the other line that will stay with you on that line until a decision has been reached either in that moment or that you want to ponder further and you want to call back. It's a 365, 24/7 operation.
Well, yes, and if our listeners are interested, they can go to www.timberlineknowles, that's KNOLLS.com. And Megan, if they want to reach you, they can email you at mross@timberlineknowles.com. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
All right. So now before we end, I was telling our listeners before you got on the call that truly we're looking at neuroscience. And whenever we're treating a patient, we're looking at how the brain functions and how the brain has adapted to both the trauma, perhaps the maladaptive coping functions like starving yourself or binging or sexual activity to medicate, all those feelings. Tell me a little bit about what your understanding is as to how sensory experiencing affects neuroscience trauma.
So one of the interesting things about somatic experiencing is, as we were describing orientation at the very beginning, that process is to engage the base brain, which is housed in the base brain is sensory information, regardless of what is happening in the rest of the brain. the breath and the heartbeat, fluids pumping throughout the system, and the ability to receive sensory information is being routed through that base brain. So one of the things in psychology treatment is that when you have somebody who has experienced trauma or is moving into a dissociative state, and dissociation is has a really wide range, but included in it is just feeling like you are moving away from yourself, moving away from the room, kind of floating or leaving or blacking out. So in those processes, the frontal lobe, which is reasoning and discernment, ends up shutting down as or going offline, probably a better way to say it. It goes offline as acute stress, acute trauma comes in. And then the limbic system, you know, has a variety of parts in it, and those parts create your value structure, and they assess what will be interpreted and what will be let go from information that you receive. And that goes offline. So in an acute stress situation, what is available is the base brain, because the base brain is necessary for just base functioning, such as breath and blood, to continue. So somatic experiencing aligns with, in psychology, you call it bottom-up for top-down processing. So building the brain from the base and really being with that base brain through orienting through the five senses and socialization, so that the limbic system comes back online, the frontal lobe comes back online, and then I can ask you such questions as, what skills would you like to be using right now? Which a lot of those questions, a lot of the behavioral and cognitive questions that we have gone toward in psychotherapy, when we're in an acute stress moment, we don't have the neurological or the brain capacity to answer, because it's not what is still online. It's not what's available to us. So simply, somatic experiencing aligns with the neurological process that is available in the moment.
Okay, so that makes sense, and you also explained a very important principle, which is that orientation and what it looks like. Again, for our listeners, as they're just maybe finding out about this important clinical therapy, how can they learn more about somatic experiencing? Is there a website for somatic experiencing? Should they go to Dr. Levine's website? What can they do?
Absolutely. You can go to Somatic Experiencing Institute, and it is a website. There is also so many wonderful videos that Dr. Peter Levine, as well as other practitioners, have put onto the web, and you can view those. You can Google Peter Levine. You can Google somatic experiencing to end up finding more information, not only about what it looks like, but about who in your area can provide that service for you. Though I will say that what it looks like is so fun and interesting to start seeing, because it is a different therapy modality, and it's one that has simplicity to it. It's one that has present moment engagement to it, and it's one that really looks at experience as a full-bodied moment. It doesn't parcel you out. It doesn't break you down. It doesn't increase stress, it reduces stress.
They are really reaching out to women all over the country. So that's a little bit about a new type of therapy that is so neuroscientific in nature, and yet it really takes some of the simplest aspects of life and it gives it back to you. And, you know, I know that there are a lot of addicts and partners alike that they can't experience life in the moment because they are so concerned with what has happened in the past or what they fear is going to happen in the future. And when that does happen, I mean, it's very clear that, you know, you can't enjoy happiness. And, Megan, you have to admit, I mean, truly, when people can't experience the moment, they're less likely to experience their life. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, Megan, thank you so much for being on the show. I am so glad to have spoken with you, and I appreciate you sharing your expertise with us.
You as well. It was my pleasure.
All right. Have a great day. And for the rest of you, I just want you to know, as I've said before, there are three keys to happiness. If you want to be happy, no matter what your trauma, no matter what your experience, you can focus on these three skills and it will take you further. And they are: stay in the moment. Be present with whatever is going on in your life. It's never going to be all bad. Two, I want you to have gratitude. I want you to have gratitude for what is. There are always things to be happy for, so if you can't find any, you need to start talking to other people about what those things are. And three, I want you to use reframing. And reframing is when you take a difficult situation and you say, how can I grow stronger? What do I have to learn from it? And when you use those three skills, staying in the moment, having gratitude, and reframing, you're much more likely to make the most out of your life. Okay, write those things down. I want you to apply them to this week. And I want you to let me know what you thought and how it made a difference in your life. I guarantee you that it will. I am Carol, the coach. Again, if you have any questions and you're a little nervous about talking on the line, you can always email me at carolthecoach@aol.com. Go to my website, Sex Help with Carol the Coach, or go to my Facebook page. I want you to like it. And that Facebook page is under my name, Carol Jurgensen Sheets. And then hit the fan page, Sexual Addiction, Strength, Hope, and Recovery. And next week we have Labor Day, so I'm going to be replaying one of our favorite shows. And then I'm so looking forward to September 8th when we're going to be interviewing a client who has 1 year of recovery and who had to make an amends to his father traveling across country to let go of the resentment that had imprisoned him in his life. Okay, as I say at the end of every show, fearlessly have the courage to be yourself. We will see you next week on Sex Help with Carol the Coach. Have a great week.